Be aware that people responding to a general invitation does not necessarily indicate permanent change. That's our key sentence for today's SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons, life-transforming services, and life-transforming churches. David, I have a new question for you. What do you make of situations where people respond to sermons that obviously are general in nature?
I'm trying to think back to a specific setting where I was in that kind of a service. The preacher, he was an effective preacher. He was preaching on temptation, and my guess is that easily a dozen, maybe a dozen and a half people came forward for prayer at the end of the sermon. In that congregation, my guess is, and this would include me, there were probably 95% of the people who struggled with some kind of temptation or another. The topic itself was where people were living, but there was little by way of specific application. And if you were looking for a response to what they're going to do, they went forward, but my guess is that those people who went forward came away with very little help as to what they were going to do the next time. So I had people, and I remember them saying, and these are what stand out in your memory, the Lord was really working this morning. You know, it's a subject that everybody's going to identify with, whether going forward. It was almost to me like the gentleman was playing on guilt, because you're basically saying, I'm coming forward, and that says that I struggle with a temptation. My guess is you struggle with a temptation, Dean, and everybody struggles with a temptation. So going forward doesn't necessarily, it may mean the Holy Spirit spoke to them, and it may mean that the people knew what they needed to do and just chose to make that the turning point in their life. I tend to think it was more the minister had found a guilt button and was working the crowd. That's too strong, probably. That's not probably what happened. It was probably a sincere preacher, but a misguided preacher in terms of whether that really amounted to a whole lot. Because I think that people need help more with, now what am I going to do now that I recognize? And it never got into lying or anger or pornography or anything like that. And I know with my own struggles and with the struggles of new Christians I've worked with, they can name the temptation, but their struggle is, what do I do about it? And if somebody had said, here's a suggestion, here's another suggestion, here's another one, now if you're willing to work with the suggestions, indicate that by coming forward, that would have been one thing. But then I would probably said, well, why do you have to come forward? What is the reason for that? I don't know, but it's kind of a traditional thing to say, come forward to the front to show that you are a repentant person or sinner, however you want to say it. I felt it was not intentionally done. I think it was a sincere effort on the part of the minister to help people, but to me it was misguided.
So do you discredit what happens in these situations?
I probably am, yes. The Lord can do what he wants, but in my mind, if the minister had given specific suggestions and said, here's how life change is going to come, that would have been more effective. In my own experience and working with people, I would say that most temptations are won or lost within the first 10 or 15 seconds of when the temptation comes. And for people to know that, Jesus is a very good illustration when he's tempted by the devil. The devil puts an idea, then bop, there's an immediate return of the Lord, just pops him right in the mouth, either quoting scripture, said, away from me, you know. So it's very quickly on, and the more you look at what the enemy is offering, and the more you kind of mull it over in your mind, it's much more likely that you're going to lose. So you have to, over a period of time, develop this ability to respond instantly. Am I going to say that, or am I not going to say that? It would be satisfying to me to say it, but I think it's not the Christian thing to do. I'm not going to say it. And then the enemy doesn't go away. He keeps dangling it. And then somebody else says a comment, well, I could add this to anything. No, I'm not going to do it. Leave me. And then maybe you quote scripture and you say, last time I said it, I was disappointed that I said it. I'm not going to say it. You know, be gone, done. Well, they're just ideas that help you in terms of that specific temptation that's in your mind now. What was your response the last time you yielded to it? Did it bring you the satisfaction that you thought it would? What was the last time you didn't yield to it? Did that bring you the satisfaction you thought it would? Is it possible that you could see yourself maybe a year and a half from now, having such a mastery over this temptation because again and again and again and again you have won, that you can picture yourself without this being a problem to you? People are that way. You set up right habit patterns. There are people who struggle just like you, and now the enemy has to come up with new temptations because that no longer gets them anymore. And that gives these people tremendous satisfaction. How would you like to be a part of that group that says, that no longer is a problem to me? I'm thinking of a specific given individual who he talks about blowing his stack. Wouldn't it be something if 2 years from now, everyone knew you as a changed person? You no longer have this temper that just explodes. Your kids don't see it. Your wife doesn't see it because you have learned in a 2-year period of time to master that. And you've specifically worked on that given thing. Now, you may have another problem in another area, but you're never going to be perfect. The enemy will always come around with different ideas. But wouldn't it be interesting to know that you could change and to believe that with Jesus' help, you're going to change? Those kind of things in my mind, would it coming forward to help? It could, but you're dealing with a specific then. My personal feeling is there are a lot of people who are very private, and coming forward is asking them to do something that is offensive to them. And you could say, in your heart, could you say to Jesus right now, I want to be one of those who in the next X amount of time looks back and said, that sin no longer has control over me like it once did. As you process in your mind, maybe you'll sit there this morning and you'll say, I've decided that I'm going to have the victory. And then you work that in your mind. Could you express that in a prayer to Jesus even now? It's possible some of you say, I need more help. I don't know what to do. I need someone who promises to pray for me. Then I invite you after the service to come for prayer. I invite you to come as we sing this last song for prayer, those kind of things. But sometimes the church gets into the thinking the problem is solved just because an invitation has been given and certain people come forward. If you preach on even a specific sin, sins of the tongue, I mean, you're talking about something that's going to make people feel convicted that are a very large percentage of the congregation. So the question is, what do you do by way of help? In my mind, that's the more specific thing that you are wanting to do. And the general invitations tend not to, in my mind, be all that valuable. Do they sometimes change people's lives? I'm sure they do. Anybody who feels like the Lord has spoken to you today, you come to the front, and that probably happens. I'm sure it happens. But it's also true that it turns people off, you know, and certain thinking people say, well, why would I have to do that? Why don't you just tell me now? You know, it's kind of like you're snookering me. You're telling me I can have a free week of vacation, but I got to listen to your presentation as to how I have to buy one of those timeshares in order to get the free week. So what's going to happen when I get down there? And very seldom when the invitations are given is somebody told, here's what's going to happen. You know, you're asking a person to do something that they don't know what's going on. You know, maybe they take me and they dunk me in water. I don't know what they do. Maybe they lay hands on me and I get electricity all through. I don't know. But we're just trying to think through as communicators, what is the most helpful to the people? And you ask at the beginning about general invitations. I'm not a big general invitation fan. I think those are sometimes more to the credit of the minister who got the people forward than they are to anything else. And that people can say, you know, we had 27 people come forward this morning. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm open to doing that, but I don't think I want to have that as part of my tradition.
There may be something to be said for an invitation associated with a salvation-oriented message, where if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. And I think that, frankly, that that's the basis for the coming forward in an evangelistic kind of setting. The only time that I've ever seen an invitation work with any at all degree of effectiveness was a very targeted invitation following a 3-week series on temptation. And the particular pastor had provided small pieces of paper and said at the beginning of his sermon, we're going to wrap this series up this week. If the Lord has spoken to you, and if you want to write your temptation that you're praying for God to help you overcome, at the end of my sermon, I'm going to have time. And if you want to come forward and place your piece of paper in this container here, we would welcome you to do that. But I only want you to come if you're serious about this and if you feel this step would be helpful to you. What they had done is they had provided a mechanism in that kettle that was blisteringly hot. It was totally safe the way it was set up. That paper that he gave them was magic paper, if you will. And the minute you put that in that pot, poof, that paper just disappeared.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's like a flash paper.
It was flash paper, exactly. That's exactly what it was. Having given them these pieces of flash paper and having not everyone came forward, but some people came forward, that was talked about for years afterwards. You know, I struggled with that temptation a long time, someone would say. And that Sunday, I really felt convicted. I wrote that sin on that paper, and that burned that into my mind, no pun intended. That burned that into my mind in a way that God just brought that back to my memory every time that temptation presented itself. And I can say with God's help, praise his name, I'm free of that today. That was a very targeted, very specific kind of invitation.
Yeah, a great illustration.
But be aware that people responding to a general invitation does not necessarily indicate permanent change. We're so glad you joined us for this SermonCoach.com podcast. You found it at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons, life-transforming services, and life-transforming churches. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.